to Motopod, the internet radio show all about motorcycle road racing. This is episode number 421 for Wednesday, the 10th of September, 2014. My name is Harry Lloyd, and I'm flying solo this week. Everyone else was a touch busy, and there's not too much stuff to discuss. There was obviously a pretty big weekend of superbike racing, but I thought I'd just forge ahead solo, you know, try a couple of different things out. Just with the format of the show. This might float some people's boat and will probably not float the boat of some other people. But either way, if you enjoy it or you don't enjoy it, feel free to send an email to motopod@motopodcast.com. Feel free to send me some feedback on how you think this went. Or if you have any other questions, comments, concerns or criticisms about the show or motorcycle racing. We've been getting a lot of emails about Moto America and Wayne Rainey, and therefore Wayne Rainey's takeover of the AMA, and we'll definitely have a show talking all about that, as we said, once some more of our American hosts are back in the fold and I'm more up to speed on that, because it's a bit tricky to, you know, to keep up with everything and try and learn about Wayne Rainey's new series. But anyway, let's get to it. So straight away into the news. There's a fair bit of news. We'll start with some BSB stuff that I quickly remember. Ian Hutchinson has obviously split with his FFX Yamaha / Milwaukee Yamaha team, but he has found refuge in the loving arms of Paul Bird Motorsport. Paul Bird will be running Hutchie in the Superstock 1000 class of BSB for the remainder of the year, and Hutchinson will also be racing at Macau with a Kawasaki 1000. Hutchie won last year at Macau, his first kind of proper race back since breaking his leg. That was on board the ex-World Superbike Ben Spies Yamaha R1 in Milwaukee colours, so it'll be interesting to see how Hutchinson goes. Taking over for Hutchinson at Macau is Michael Rutter. The old guy's still got some life in him. And, he normally goes well at Macau, so it'll be interesting to see how he does on the Yamaha. I'm not sure he's ever raced a Yamaha there at Macau. Certainly not in recent years that my young little memory can remember. And, yeah, that's pretty much all the BSB news. Apart from Ryuichi Kiyonari, will be staying with a build-based BMW next season. Paul Bird had apparently offered him a pretty sizable check to come over to join one of Paul Bird's two squads for next year. But that's looking a bit less likely now, since, you know, he's officially said that he'll be with Build Base for 2015. But Michael Laverty, he could be one to fill the other seats in the Paul Bird mega squad, as Paul Bird will be pulling out of MotoGP. And unfortunately, Laverty's a good rider, but the bike he's on isn't able to give him the results to earn him another ride at this stage. But who knows? Michael is probably one of the nicest guys you can meet. I know that everyone says that about everyone, but genuinely, Michael Laverty is just a super nice guy. I interviewed him for this event thing, and he came up and chatted after, and just casual. And then one of my friends, he was on a plane to, I think it was Sepang, and he tweeted about, you know, wanting to watch Breaking Bad, and the next thing you know, Michael Laverty's at his seat with a USB stick with the legally downloaded, of course, episodes of Breaking Bad on it. So yeah, hopefully it all goes well for Michael Laverty. Now, getting into some MotoGP / World Superbike news. Remy Gardner is following the trend set by Dakota Mamola and is making his MotoGP debut. Remy Gardner is obviously the son of Wayne Gardner, and Remy will be replacing Luca Grunwald at Misano. Luca Grunwald is recovering from some shoulder surgery, so Remy will be on his Kalex KTM for Misano. Remy had a pretty tough weekend last weekend at Navara in the Sevmoto 3 series. He had quite a nasty high side, a bit like his dad, a bit throttle happy at times. But then unfortunately, Gabriel Rodrigo, the Alicia Spargo team's rider, ran him over. Luckily, Remy is all okay. Both Remy and his team looked like they were getting ready to go back out on their bike because that incident caused the race to be red flagged, but unfortunately, or I guess fortunately probably, Remy was unable to rejoin the race, which is probably for the best. But yeah, you know, the Wollongong Wiz certainly builds them strong if you can get run over and still want to go back out for the race restart. So I hope that Remy does go well at Misano. Remy will also be racing at Phillip Island, although that'll be as a wild card. So I imagine he'll be on his KTM that he uses in the Sev series. So that will be very interesting to see. In more Australian news, this is a bit of a big rumour, and it's kind of a rumour on top of a rumour, bit of a piggyback there. But as we've discussed, Jack Miller looks quite likely to join LCR Honda. The announcement might be made by the time this episode comes out, as with the Scott Redding announcement. Who knows? Jack Miller might be joining LCR Honda. And now those sneaky Italians, they're reporting that a certain Mr. Jeremy Burgess could be joining Jack Miller as his crew chief. Now, I think that this could be a very good move. As, you know, Burgess and Miller are quite contrasting characters. Jack Miller's a bit like a Jack Russell, you know, quite jumpy and energetic, whereas Jeremy Burgess is more of a Great Dane, I guess. Maybe not so energetic, but very wise and can calm Jack down a lot. Because, obviously, if Jack does make this jump to MotoGP, which, be it or not, one of the big things that he's going to have to learn is to take it slow. I know that sounds really, really stupid that, you know, on a motorcycle you should take it slow. But Jack has had a habit of crashing and hurting himself quite badly. He's broken his collarbone something like 9 times. I mean, they're pretty much dust at this point. But I think that Jeremy would you know, he'd be that guiding force that Jack would certainly listen to. And he'd be able to take Jack through everything methodically and learn the setup of the bike and learn how to ride a MotoGP bike and learn the electronics and just ease him into it. And I think that that'd be really good for Miller. Whether this will actually happen and it's not just a rumour, I don't know. I personally really hope it does happen because Jeremy is just one of those characters of the paddock, like Irv Kanemoto. You know, how many crew chiefs are really super famous by name to people who aren't just complete anoraks? Speaking of crew chiefs, there's a rumour still going around that Jorge Lorenzo and Danny Pedrosa could be getting rid of their crew chiefs at the end of this year. Rossi, again, much like the leg dangle, seems to be setting a bit of a trend. It's rumoured that Fukada, i.e. Lorenzo's crew chief, could be going to Suzuki. Suzuki's being run by Davide Brivio, who would obviously know Fukada from their work together in the Yamaha team. But someone who could replace Fukada is Cal Crutchlow's crew chief, who won't be going with Crutchlow to LCR Honda, as the LCR Honda crew chief, Beefy, as he's commonly known, will be staying there. So that's just one to watch. In some other news, Nico Tirole is back for Misano. I'm not really sure how just one weekend off could have helped that much when he had the whole summer break to potentially recover from his illness. But, you know, I'm no doctor, so maybe that one week off is really all that he needed, and now he's going to be A-OK. I don't know. We'll see how Tirole goes. I really hope that he does bounce back, but just one week off does seem a bit, I don't know, it seems weird. There's obviously more than meets the eye. Anytime the situation with Tirole does get discussed, they bring up personal issues that they, as in the commentators or other news media types, they bring up personal issues. So there's obviously something going on behind the scenes there a bit with Tirole. And yeah, as I said, hopefully he comes back because he was a great 125 rider. I've been watching the 2009 125 and 250 season in my spare time just because I'm a bit boring like that. And even back then, Tirole was a force to be reckoned with and was able to fight with the likes of Julian Simon, Bradley Smith, Andrea Iannone for the lead in the races and even challenged for the championship for a fair bit of that season. So, yeah, hopefully Tirole does come back. That's pretty much all the news that I can think of. Maybe we'll edit it like we did last week if there's any breaking news. As I said, the Jack Miller situation and the Scott Redding situation, both of them could potentially be announced or potentially change at any second. So basically, whenever we record MotoPod, it's going to be a lose situation because we're probably going to miss the news. But there's always next week. So now moving on to the racing. As I said at the start of the show, big weekend for superbikes. We had World Superbikes and we had British Superbikes. I caught pretty much both of them. With all that racing, it's kind of hard to remember the exact races. but the ones that I really remember we'll go through. We'll start with World Superbikes. So in World Superbike Race 1, Marco Melandri came flying through and won ahead of teammate Gintoli and ahead of Chaz Davies. Jonathan Rea and Tom Sykes completed the top five. Obviously, now with the rounds reduced, it's only really Gintoli and Sykes that are battling for the championship. And it's Gintoli certainly putting up a fight. I'm not sure Gintoli was super happy that Melandri won. Aprilia have been known to give team orders, i.e. with Max Biaggi and Eugene Laverty. But apparently they're not giving team orders this year. So Melandri did what any racer does and went out and won it. Gintoli had to settle for second, but luckily for Gintoli, Sykes was in fifth. So the points gap closed up a bit there. It was a bad race and a bad weekend in general for Loris Baz. He was starting from pole, but he unfortunately crashed out, as did Alex Lowe's Davide Squigli-Gigliano, who was looking very strong all weekend. But yeah, Davide, he's proving to be kind of the opposite of the Italians. Most of the Italians, you know, your Andrea Iannone's, your Valentino Rossi's, your Romano Fanati's, they're Sunday men. They don't qualify too well, but come Sunday, they'll always be up there. Whereas Squigli-Gigliano, he's proving to be a bit of a Saturday man. He always qualifies really well, but then just can't get it sorted in the race. So it's interesting to see the contrast there. Brian Staring was another faller, unfortunately. So we had then Eugene Laverty was 6th, Leon Haslam was 7th, Tony Elias 8th, David Slom 9th, and top Evo bike and Sylvain Barrier rounding out the top 10. So yeah, race 1 was pretty good, lots of crashes. World Superbike racing, it's not bad. I mean, don't get me wrong, it doesn't hold my interest as much as MotoGP would, but the racing is good. The fan numbers were ridiculously low this year. So yeah, the total fans over the entire weekend for World Superbike at Jerez was 25,330, which is nothing. Some MotoGP rounds get that on just the Friday. So World Superbikes is obviously having a fair bit of trouble, as we've discussed before. Next year is the first year that Dorna can start making all the decisions. So hopefully we'll see World Superbikes turn around a bit. Some breaking news that I've just read on the Twitter is that Ian Hutchinson, as I said earlier, is going to be racing at Macau for Paul Bird. But there's now some people, i.e. Matt Oxley, are suggesting that he could be running with the MotoGP PBM Aprilia at Macau. Now, I'm not fully up to speed on my Macau rules, but I think that pretty much any 1000cc qualifies, so it'd be really interesting to see how a MotoGP spec bike goes around a road racing course. I mean, sure, the Paul Bird Motorsport Aprilia is not the fastest bike on the grid, but it'd certainly be interesting to see, and I wonder if they'd keep the carbon brakes and the Bridgestones and stuff. I don't know, one to watch. Anyway, back to World Superbikes. So now on to race 2 for World Superbikes. Again, a barnstormer by Marco Melandri. He doubled his winning gap. He won by almost 3 seconds over Gintoli again. Sykes again in third. Not the best weekend for Sykes. A pretty decent weekend for Gintoli, obviously fighting for the championship, clawing some points back, but I'm sure Gintoli would have liked to win the race, obviously. And we'll have to see if it does come down to the last race, if Melandri maybe does pull over to the side of the road like Eugene Laverty did for Max Biaggi. It was another good race in race 2 for Chaz Davies in 4th. The Panigale seems to be getting sorted in World Superbikes. It's certainly very competitive in Super Stock. So it's good to see that Ducati are getting more competitive. They could potentially be one of only 2 or 3 factory teams in World Superbike next year. So it is really good to see them be competitive. And yeah, even their MotoGP project's starting to turn around. So clearly the guiding hand of GG Dallinia is starting to work some sort of magic in the Bologna factory. So in 5th was Jonathan Rea. Not the best weekend for him, but not the worst. They apparently had a new engine or new engine map aboard the Pata Honda, which Jonathan did not gel with. As we said last week, it looks almost certain that Jonathan will be switching to Kawasaki in World Superbike next year. So hopefully Jonathan is finally able to deliver on that title. Eugene Laverty was sixth. That was his sixth from sixth on the grid, and his second sixth of the weekend. He had a very funny tweet about 666. Hilarious. Loris Baz, bad weekend for him. Seventh from pole. Something just not going right for Baz there. Then we had Leon Haslam in eighth, Alex Lowe's in ninth, Tiger Tony Elias in 10th, and Sylvan Barrier 11th is the top Evo bike for this race. David Salom, who was the top Evo bike before, he crashed out, as did Davide Squiggly Gigliano, Claudio Cordi, Jeff May, and Toth. The EBR was just one place away and 5 seconds from scoring its first point in World Superbikes. Obviously, the EBR as a machine has scored points in World Superbike, but not with the official team. So, yeah, hopefully that'll change. Now, on to the Superbike standings. Tom Sykes leads with 352 points. Sylvain Guintoli is just behind on 321 points, so 31 points separate them. There's still 100 points to play for. So it could go down to the wire, but you'd have to say that Tom Sykes definitely has one hand on the trophy. Jonathan Rea looks steady in third on 285 points. Marco Melandri is fourth on 267. So maybe Melandri can challenge for third. Melandri obviously has a fair bit of experience at Qatar, which is the last race for World Superbikes. And I can't really remember how he normally goes at Magny Cours. So, hopefully we can see a good battle for first and second and third and fourth. Loris Baz is also in that battle for third on 262 points, 90 points behind Tom Sykes. So in theory, Loris Baz could still win the title, but lots of people would have to crash. Then in sixth, top Ducati, Chaz Davies, 188 points. Eugene Laverty in seventh, top Suzuki. Davide Giuliano is eighth. Tony Elias is ninth. Leon Haslam, 10th. Alex Lowe's 11th. Top Evo bike is David Salom. And yeah, that's the World Superbike standings. Now, moving on to World Supersport. It was an excellent race for World Supersport, I must say. This was the first potential match point for Michael Vandermark. His closest title rival, Jules Cluzel, they fought tooth and nail the entire race. It was absolutely excellent. Jules Cluzel, I don't know what was wrong with the MV, but it looked like he kept finding false neutral and he just couldn't shift down the gears. But when the bike did shift, Cluzel was really, really on it. So hopefully that MV is a bit better next year. Unfortunately, Cluzel crashed as he battled hard with Michael Vandermark. Another disappointing result for Kenan Sofoglu. He's obviously swapped teams now that the Mahi Racing teams ran out of money, but a technical infringement meant that Sofoglu was starting from the back of the grid. He managed to fight his way up to 13th position, so I guess it could be worse. But really, really disappointing from Sofoglu, and hopefully in these last two rounds, Sofoglu can recover, because, you know, he's arguably one of the most talented 600 Supersport riders that there is, but he's just had a bad season due to stuff that's pretty out of his control. But up the front, we had Michael Vandermark winning the race, then we had PJ Jacobsen holding up the honour of American racing, as obviously last week, Josh Herron and the Caterham team split. So it was good to see PJ up in second. That's his best ever result in World Supersport. I think it was at Misano that he got his third. So that's a really good result for PJ. And hopefully we see some more things from PJ next year, be it in Supersport, Superbike, or Moto2. You never really know with some of these Supersport riders. They can make the jump quite late in the season in terms of hearing about rumours for contracts and stuff. Then in third, we had Florian Moreno, who this weekend will be replacing Simone Corsi in Moto2. So that was a good result for Moreno before he jumps over to the shark-infested waters that are Moto2. Jack Kennedy was fourth, Kev Coughlin fifth, Lorenzo Zanetti sixth, Veteran Robbie Rolfo, 7th. Willerott, who will be replacing Heron, in 8th. Nocco in 9th, and Tamburini in 10th. So yeah, it was a good super sport race. As I said, there were lots of hard passes. Michael Vandermark's a very, very talented rider. He fought back at Clouzel extremely hard. It was unfortunate that Clouzel crashed, but you could tell that Clouzel was pushing beyond the limit on that MV, which is still struggling with development and catching up to the CBR that's been, you know, it's been developed for something like 10 years or something. So, yeah, hopefully, as I said, next season we can see Clouzel. But Michael Vandermark's win did cement him the championship for World Supersport 2014. Big congratulations to Michael Vandermark and the Pata Honda team. He had an excellent season. He had an excellent rookie season last year as well, and he's really delivered on all the promise he showed. He's only like the third ever Dutch world champion, and I think this 600cc title is the biggest capacity title by a Dutch rider ever. I think their other titles were in 80s and 50cc. I'm not 100% sure on that one, though. So, yeah, big congratulations to Michael Vandermark. It looks like he'll be replacing Jonathan Rea in the Pata Honda Superbike team next season. If his Suzuka form is anything to go by, he'll be one to watch on the big bike. And then maybe we see him move across to MotoGP. We've talked about it before, but, you know, you kind of really need to get into MotoGP young, it seems. And Michael Vandermark's a huge talent. He's also Dutch, which is good for TV audiences, good for the Dutch race, or the race in Holland, rather. So, it was a class season from Michael Vandermark. He was 76 points ahead of Florian Marino in second, and 78 points ahead of Jules Clouzel in third. That's overall in the standings. It looks like Marino and Clouzel have a pretty tough fight for second place. Lorenzo Zanetti isn't quite out of it yet on 90 points. So that fight for second is still exciting, especially depending on if Jules Clouzel can stay upright. But there's definitely some talent in the World Supersport class. You know, Michael Vandermark, I reckon he should have a go at Moto2. Jules Clouzel, when he was in Moto2, excellent rider. Lorenzo Zanetti, he's come along. You know, he started off in 125s and 250s on the world stage and then kind of fell off a bit and went into obscurity for a year or two. But now he's with that Pata Honda team. He seems to be going well. And then Kev Coughlin and PJ Jacobsen, 5th and 6th in the championship. Kev obviously had half a season in Moto2, but it was with a terrible team. And he's a nice guy. And PJ, hope of American racing at the second. I can't really see either of the EBRs fighting for a podium. And Nicky Hayden's injury continues to dog him, so he won't be racing at Misano. So there will be no American riders in any of the three MotoGP classes at Misano. I asked Dr. Martin Raines when the last time that was. Unfortunately, he didn't see my tweet. So when I get that stat, I'll be sure to share it with everyone. But yeah, just once again, big congratulations to Michael Vandermark, first of this year's world champions. We'll start seeing some more world champions wrapped up the longer we go along, especially in the next couple of weeks. But last weekend you saw a lot of dirt track world champions be wrapped up, and it seems like Honda's doing pretty well, not just in MotoGP, but also with the dirt bikes, and yeah, just with everything Honda seemed to be doing pretty well. Honda, pretty good company, who would have guessed? So that's all the world superbike news. We'll move on to BSB. I unfortunately didn't catch a BSB too much. Ryuichi Kiyonari, he's definitely resurgent. He had a bit of a tough start to the season, but now he's as strong as he was at his height. He did the double at Donington Park, or the Circuit of Wales, as it will be known next year. That was a little jokey joke. But yeah, Kiyonari, good race. He was ahead of Shaky Byrne in both races. Shaky just couldn't catch up with him. Shaky's had at least a couple of rounds since he last won, so that's good for the showdown. The top six in the showdown are Shaky Byrne, who leads with a 26 point lead over Josh Brooks, and then Kiyonari is third, Tommy Bridewell is fourth, Chris Walker is fifth, and Dan Linfoot is sixth. So those are the six riders who could potentially win the 2014 BSB title. You'd have to guess that it's probably between Shane Byrne, Josh Brooks, and Ryuichi Kiyonari, unless something quite drastic happens, and Tommy Bridewell or Walker or Linfoot can somehow make up over a race win versus those three top guys. They're pretty much on another level compared to the rest of the field when the track's dry. You know, they're best riders, best bikes, so they're just able to step it up that much. You know, you see riders like Bridewell and like Peter Hickman, both excellent riders, but who are still not quite as experienced as those three in BSB. But if it's wet, you see riders like them and even Josh Waters really stepping it up and challenging for the front. It was another disappointing weekend for John Hopkins. He started from pole in race one, but then crashed. And yeah, Hopper's year's just, it's not been good, Hopper's year, to be 100% honest. I don't really know what it is. Lots of people have theorised that in BSB they're running quite reduced electronics, and Hopper was obviously, well, not Hopper was in MotoGP, kind of not at the height of electronics, but when electronics were very important. And, you know, people kind of say maybe it's the electronics and he can't ride without them, yada, yada, yada. But I don't know. I can't see Taiko Suzuki keeping John Hopkins next season based on the results. You kind of expect more out of a guy who's finished on the podium in MotoGP multiple times. I know that, you know, he's had injuries and all that sort of stuff, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, John Hopkins is such a big name that he'll probably get picked up by another BSB team, certainly, if Taiko don't go with him next year. I hope he does. I hope that Hopper can one day find his old form. I'm a huge Hopper fan. It's just, he just seems to get injured at the worst possible times. You know, he had his finger injury when he was fighting for the BSB title. I know it wasn't that big of a drama, but it's one of those maybes. And then he obviously had his hip injuries when he was in World Superbike. And in Superbike, he was on the Suzuki, which wasn't the most competitive bike to begin with, so that didn't help. But, yeah, we'll just have to wait and see what happens with Hopper. His teammate, Josh Waters, he got top 10 in both races, maybe even top 5. As I said, I'm not 100% sure. But, yeah, Josh Waters has really come on strong. It's like after his wet weather win, something just suddenly clicked in his head. And now he can almost consistently challenge for the top 5 and certainly finish within the top 10. So it's good to see that there's some Australians coming through. Hopefully Josh Waters will stay with that team next year and can continue to learn his way in BSB and keep pushing. It's just interesting seeing what's happening with riders. It looks like Josh Brooks is wanting to leave. So, you know, when we're going to need another Australian to take it to those Pommy bastards. No offense to any Poms out there. But yeah, we'll see what happens in BSB. There was also an excellent super sport race in BSB. It was a photo finish between the two Triumph riders. I didn't see the race, but I saw the photo finish, and it was Moto 3 close. So if you get a chance, I know that there's some channels in the US that show BSB, and obviously in the UK you can get BSB highlights quite easily. So if you get a chance, I'd recommend watching at least the highlights for both the Superbike races, and definitely watch the full world watch the full world Supersport race, but also watch the full British Supersport race. It looks like the title will be very close between the two riders there. And that pretty much wraps up our brief little show, an intimate evening, morning, midday, depending when you're listening to it with Harry Lloyd. I hope you enjoyed it. It's a bit short, but as I said, just thought that we should bring you a bit of a news flash about what's happening. The Jack Miller and Scott Redding things, they're probably the two biggest bits of news, but they haven't broken yet. So we'll have to wait and see what happens with them. And the last couple of shows have been pretty long, so hopefully this little show gives some people a chance to catch up. You know, maybe some people just skip this show, who knows. But thank you for listening. Remember to send back any questions, comments, concerns, criticisms, applause, I guess, if you can send applause, to motopod@motopodcast.com. I'm Harry Lloyd. We've now hit half an hour. That's pretty good for talking to yourself. I'll see everyone probably next week. Hopefully Dave, Jim, and or Martin will be back, and it's not just me rambling for 30 minutes. Bye, everyone.